Well, even as they're covering the protests, some newsrooms are wrestling with their own. Over the weekend, a top editor at the New York Times and another at the Philadelphia Inquirer resigned. The Times had published an op-ed calling for the military to move on protesters. The Inquirer had a headline about property damage from protesters that read, "Buildings matter too." And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette benched Black reporter Alexis Johnson after her tweet with photos of trash streets and her copy that read, "Horrifying scenes from selfish looters who don't care about this city." Oh, wait, sorry, no. These are pictures from a Kenny Chesney concert tailgate. Whoops. Editors said that revealed bias, and therefore she couldn't report on the protest objectively. NPR's media correspondent David Fogenblick is here. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
So start with the resignations. The New York Times editorial page editor James Bennett resigned after in-house outrage over that op-ed from Republican Senator Tom Cotton, which called for the deployment of troops to help police and protest. The Times first defended their move in publishing it. Now they aren't. Your thoughts on their conclusion?
Well, you know, initially, James Bennett and his now former boss, publisher A.G. Sulzberger, gave a fairly robust defense of publishing Cotton's op-ed. Cotton had basically said this: the deployment of military troops is needed, even overriding the concerns of governors and mayors to quell violent unrest. He's claimed to be focusing on looters, but you know they would be there interacting with protesters, and we've seen the violence that has ensued when police have already clashed. Imagine it being more militarized. Mm-hmm. A number of journalists within the newsroom said, look, this affects journalists, particularly journalists of color, who have been badly treated and sometimes rather savagely treated by some police officers at these things across the country. And ultimately, Bennett and Sulzberger backed down. They said they hadn't paid attention to some of the concerns. And James Bennett acknowledged he hadn't read this, what was clearly going to be an incendiary column headline, "Send in the troops," before it was posted. Now, there's a lot of content for Bennett to review every day, but this was one he needed to flag for himself and for his boss. Bennett had been seen as a possible leader for the newsroom, the news side, which is operated separately from the opinion side down the road after Dean Baquet retires. This sidelined him from that.
Well, of course, some people immediately said, wait, an op-ed page is for all opinions, but there, you have to go back to, really, you're not supposed to yell fire. You can't be incendiary. But we'll move on to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Their headline, "Buildings Matter Too," about destruction of property during protests, seemed to weigh buildings against Black lives. Dozens of employees went on strike. Top editors resigned. The paper apologized. What are your questions here? I mean, do you have questions about whether editorial direction should come up from staff or come down from editors?
Well, from what one can tell, you know, this seemed to be an article that did come from the architecture critic, somebody who's written about urban development for the paper for some time. And it was the question of the headline, "Buildings Matter Too," seemingly equating, in the belief of a number of journalists at the Inquirer, property damage, mm-hmm. the loss of human life. It is perfectly legitimate to explore what the repercussions are for communities, even for communities of color, when there's violence, when there's vandalism, when there is looting. What does that do for economies? What does that do for communities? You know, at such a fraught moment, it probably is worthwhile that a company that traffics in communicating with the public think carefully about what exactly it's communicating.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette barred Alexis Johnson. This is a Black reporter. They said she couldn't cover protest after she published that tweet, which editors said proved bias. You spoke to her for your piece on Morning Edition. We'll link to that. But here's what she had to say about what they told her.
They kept doubling down, saying, "I gave my opinion through the tweet." And I don't think that's the case at all. I think people made their own opinions of what I was trying to say. I thought it was kind of clever.
David, what do you think?
I think here you have a reporter who is a native Pittsburgh resident, whose father was a retired state trooper, whose mother is a retired probation officer, who's being accused of bias, not allowed to pitch stories or write about protests unfolding in her hometown. Meanwhile, is able to talk to a white reporter who had tweeted a vulgar, essentially disparagement of a man accused of looting and linking to his own story. He was also warned about tweeting, but he was not prevented from doing further stories involving the protests. He was only barred from doing that a few days later when the union stepped in and said, hey, we think there's disparate treatment here of a Black reporter and her social media commentary compared to that of a white reporter there. And the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette top editors that were involved in this, and their bosses for that matter, haven't come forward and explained their thinking. Today, you're hearing the union step forward and accuse the news leadership of essentially discrimination and bias on Alexis Johnson's behalf, and also of black photographer Michael Santiago, an award-winning photographer, also barred from such coverage because of his social media commentaries.
Dave, we just have a half a minute here. What do you think we're hearing and finding out about newsrooms here?
I think you're seeing some real friction between long-enduring journalistic tenets, the idea of a pursuit of objectivity, with the idea from a lot of younger reporters and reporters of color in particular, who say, no, 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 we've got to be true to the facts. We've got to be true to fairness. The idea that we can always be impartial, that we have no stake in what's happening and no eyes to see what's truly happening, is a disservice to our readers and to journalism itself. And that's the tension there.
NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik, thank you.
You bet.